Let's go.
Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast with your hosts, Brady Connors, Frankie Morales, and Daniel Acosta.
I think within 10 seconds, our listeners know I'm not here. If they don't hear, let's go.
Yeah,
you've kind of established that. So good for you, man.
People love that shit, dude.
Like, will one of you guys do it? Or are you going to like replace it with something?
We can't, dude. That's
yours.
Your thing.
Yeah, we can't
own up on that.
D's gone.
That's what I'm going to replace it with.
Yeah, we can't take that, man.
I'm going to replace it with,
There you go, dude. You do, and then.
Yeah, anytime Brady, you hear something stupid instead of that, you know D's gone, bro.
Exactly.
Brady's just like, fuck me. Yeah.
I'll just start humming the song, bro. I won't even say a word.
And then like it just fades out and you're still going.
Yeah.
And again.
Frank, loop it back.
Run it back. All right, boys. ATC in the house. We got a full squad. It's your boy, Sweet D. I'm here with Frank.
Yo.
And here with Brady.
Yes, sir.
And today we are talking the NFC North. We the North. It's a pretty stacked division this year. A
lot of shit going on in here. I fucking quickly realized there's going to be another long one, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. And we're not going to dive into it, but the best wide receiver in the game got extended.
Yes, he did. Not just extended, historically extended.
Yes.
He's now the second richest player that's a non-quarterback, right? From his
unreal,
position.
Dude. 110 guaranteed, 4 years, $140 million. Like, and we're going to like dive into him, you know, once we start talking about the Vikings. But just on a contract level.
It's insane.
It's insane, especially because he didn't do shit last year.
I mean, if this tells me anything, don't draft him this year.
Yeah.
And he if just got paid.
Yes.
And if you haven't picked up on who we're talking about, KJ Osborne, massive contract.
Oh, man. There's actually a handful of fantasy relevant players that got extended. And honestly, I mean,
this next one, I don't fucking get. I absolutely
yes,
do
so
not get.
So Jalen Waddle got extended. 3 years, $84 million, and what I really don't get is how the hell that guy got $76 million guaranteed.
Bro, I was gonna say maybe in terms of like value wise, not that much, but
like
they gotta
cardio.
Have someone up for next to Reek, dude.
But he ain't it.
I feel like for what the production that he gives you, you could get that for half that price.
From who?
From anybody.
Mm, okay.
I'm not a big Jalen Waddle fan.
There's actually one guy who I'll talk about later that. I was surprised to look into his stats, but anyways.
I'm not a huge Jalen guy either. And now that I think about it, his game almost translated identically from Alabama to the pros because he's exactly what he was at Alabama. He was super fast, splash play. Oh, fuck, my ankle. He's gone for two games, comes back, scores a touchdown, splash play. Oh, fuck, my toe. And then he sits out for two drives, comes back in. Oh, I'm fucking cramped again. Like, he can't stay on the field.
Can't stay on the field and not consistent, dude. Just like,
no.
You guys sound drafted. Salty. Jalen's on my fantasy team.
He's getting drafted. Last year, I think he got drafted as a wide receiver, too, on a lot of teams.
He's like in the second, third round.
Yeah.
Like,
and
yeah, he's
fucked you. Yeah, absolutely.
He
left
was in
right,
the same.
Up, down, fucked you.
So why are you so remind me again why he's getting $76 million guaranteed for $384?
Because that's the price of doing business nowadays. I guess.
Yeah, he was in the same grouping as Devontae and what's his name? T. Higgins as like the solid wide receiver too. And
right.
I think you can make an argument all those guys don't deserve to get paid shit.
And you know who's
you're
not?
Right.
Yeah.
T. Higgins.
And T. Higgins is not.
He's not. Not from the Bengals.
Yeah.
Poor dude's gonna end up on the Patriots or something. A man who does deserve his extension, Christian McCaffrey. He was extended 2 more years on top of his current deal, $24 million in guarantees. Don't draft him.
Yeah. Don't draft him.
Don't draft him. I will say, I feel like in Dynasty, it's time to sell.
Oh yeah, it's either this year or the next.
Unless you are bona fide, like you are in the championship hunt. You have no choice but to ride that rhino into the ground until his knees are dust.
Yeah, which will be in the next couple years.
But if you're not contending, if you're kind of a middle of the pack team, you know, and you're fifth, sixth, maybe seventh, eighth, take a good hard look in the mirror. Take one more shot and just fucking man the fuck up and just sell the guy, dude.
Yeah. I know Victor's
you're either
been
winning,
shopping him around.
Or you're either not.
Take
you know?
A good
See,
hard
like,
look
so,
in the mirror,
So
dude.
Victor, perfect example, like, yeah. Victor won the league.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's been chopping him.
Like, you're screwed, dude. You can't sell him. You got to ride him into the ground.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're like in Victor's brother-in-law's league where the commissioner tanked for first, and now he had the first pick, the second pick, and CMC. It's like, well, you're still not going to compete because the rest of your team's still right. trash. Like, you should probably just get rid of them and load up on more picks.
I agree.
But to each his own.
I mean, if I'm Victor, I try to sell him.
Redraft, I think you got to take him. He's yeah. he's in that top three conversation with Kyron Williams. So,
oh, man.
Logan Thomas, depth piece for San Francisco. Yeah. Got a one-year deal out of the Niners. And Darren Waller, expected to announce his retirement this week. And should honestly just announce his retirement from life itself.
Dude, it's like this guy thinks that we give a fuck about him retiring, which is hilarious to me.
He also thinks we give a fuck about just his, like, life.
Yeah.
Did you see his music video he made about his divorce?
No.
With that WNBA player?
We should crack him to that. What
no, I did not.
So he was dating she's good, too, I think, from the Aces. I don't know, whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah. It's the girl that's kind of like Plum? All of her commercials.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's the one that tried to do the Joe Burrow, like, they won the championship. She's smoking cigars and stuff, mm-hmm. you know. Cool chick. Anyways, apparently she was married to Darren Waller.
Yeah, they were.
Who then, like, as soon as they got hitched, he gets traded to the Giants.
Yep.
Well, now they're getting divorced, and he made a music video about it. Like, he actually had an actress play his now ex-wife in the video.
That's what? Pretty funny, man.
Fucking piece of work.
So man. There's a lot of like chatter about like the music video, and that's like that should be the new punishment. Like whoever's last should recreate the video because it's that
Make
bad.
A music
you
video.
Should literally you should watch it. He's like in the ocean. He's like crying. Like people are getting stabbed. It's really what?
Fucking funny, dude.
God damn.
Yeah.
Oh man, that doesn't surprise me. One
nice
bit.
Move, Darren Waller. On to crack 'em. We had to think about this one.
Yep.
But with the NBA Finals. Starting this weekend, and if you don't know us by now, does it start tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Thursday.
Tomorrow, yeah.
First game.
If you don't know us by now, we're SoCal Boys, and us SoCal Boys bleed purple and gold.
And we don't like green.
And we fucking hate Boston.
We hate it, dude.
We hate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't give me $1 million. Actually, you know, I take that back. I'll cheer for Boston for $1 million. But, but we're going to crack them to Kyrie Irving. Taking that sweet green ass down.
The dude. Return, dude. The return of the king.
Yep. Back to Boston.
I expect to see a Mamba Kyrie. And we're not even getting into Luka. We're just talking
gonna
Kyrie.
It's going to be something to watch, man. I'm for sure going to watch these finals, even though it's the Celtics. But, yeah, I'm excited for it.
I honestly won't be surprised if the Mavs win. I know the Celtics are heavy favorites, but I still think that they're just kind of young and not experienced. And you got two stone cold killers on the Mavericks, bro.
Veterans.
And I know that Luka hasn't been there either, but I
doesn't
mean,
matter.
Look at what he yeah, I was gonna
look
say.
What he's doing.
Look what he's doing right now, dude. It does not matter.
Well, he looks like a 10-year vet, dude.
Yeah, he
put
does.
It to you plainly, who's got the best player in the
yeah,
in the
it's
series?
The Mavs.
It's the Mavs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
It's the Mavs, like, bro.
I'm gonna bet on Luka, dude. Yep. I'm gonna bet on 6'6", 230-pound Luka Doncic.
Beer chugging Luka. I was so pissed when whatever his name is took his beer away. In front of his dad, nonetheless. Oh my god!
I just
I
loved his reaction.
Somebody,
he was just
dude.
Like he just held his hand there, like.
Oh, you know he was pissed, bro.
Did anyone see my beer?
You know he was pissed.
Totally.
And we're cracking him with some.
D got us a nice beer today.
Sweet D special, a Sierra Nevada Cosmic Little Thing Hazy.
Never had this one. I'm excited.
Double.
It's pretty good.
IPA. It's a little bit for Brady. It's a little bit for me. It's
delicious.
It's a double, and Frank drinks anything.
Go
so,
Kyrie. Go Mavs, baby.
Mavs in four.
And go Florida Panthers, by the way. Fuck Edmonton. Fuck Canada. A little Ooh, side crack 'em.
That's a good double.
Yeah, smooth. That's a good one.
That's a good double.
That's way too smooth for a double.
Smooth, little smoky. Tastes just like I remember.
Okay. I love the can, too.
Sierra Nevada too. Is like a low-key good brewing company, dude.
Dude, I remember when...
I used to pound them all the time.
I was just going to say, your dad used to buy them all the time.
I kind of grew up on them.
And
we
fucking just...
the pale ales?
Yeah, the pale ales.
We'd just go over to your pad and just drink like a six-pack, and he'd be like, where'd all my beers go wrong?
Do you remember when remember when IPAs didn't exist and we were pumped to drink Rolling Rocks on a Friday night?
Oh, I loved Rolling Rocks, brother.
$10 a 12-pack. They're still $10, baby.
You still can't beat that price.
Rolling Rocks, Keystones, Natty Ices.
Dude, the good stuff.
Do you think we used to take pride in drinking the shittiest beers?
You know what I was thinking about the other day, actually? Because we grew up such beer drinkers, nobody got, like, super sick and fucked up or did anything really that dumb, like, drinking hard liquor, you know? Because, like, you hear some crazy shit of kids getting... like alcohol poisoning with hard liquor. Nah, shit is nothing to fuck
with. We just coast, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I do.
We just
have
get dumber, dude. Yeah. But we're still cool.
I have a vivid memory of you, Braids.
Okay.
When the original Four Locos came out.
Oh, God.
And we all drank one. And then you said, fuck it, I'll drink one more.
Is it when I ralphed on my couch?
You were outside, but you probably don't remember it. You, like, just full, like, tilted your head. Like, we thought about, like, he has alcohol poisoning for sure. Because I just remember, bro, you, like, and I look back now, I'm like, he could have choked and died. But like, I just remember like your eyes rolled back with your head and you just volcano ralphed all over yourself.
Once
dude,
again,
sitting in the backyard.
That was probably the scariest thing that ever happened to us, right?
I saved my life doing that, dude.
It's a good thing. Yeah, we never got into hard liquor that.
I was totally
fine,
bro.
The OG Four Locos, one that quickly got banned.
Speaking of beers, and this will be the last point that we can get to the NFL, but I was saw this video earlier. And Frank, I know I've talked with you about this a little bit in the past, but what's your guys' favorite place and time to have a beer?
This is easy, dude.
So for me, it's the airport beer.
Same.
Bro.
Airport beers.
You can't go wrong with the airport
beer. Because, like, it doesn't
matter.
It's
the only place you don't
get
judged. Yeah, it's the only place you don't get judged. And honestly, let's be real. Everyone there is drinking for one of two reasons. One, they're on vacation. Or two, they're scared of flying, dude.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's perfectly acceptable to have a beer no matter the circumstance at any time. And like I said, there's no judgment.
I'm a big fan of the airport.
I'm a huge fan of the airport beer.
Airplane beers are almost just as cool. Dude.
That's an one talks about the airplane beers.
Although I don't drink beer in an airplane.
I usually
only because I got to get up to piss too much, so I go for the hard alcohol on the airplane.
But
there
still,
you go. That's smart.
Drink beer, airplane.
You're drinking on the plane.
On the airplane. Yeah. Always fun. Train beers are fun too.
Train beers are cool. I think a close second for me is shower beers, dude.
Shit, man.
You can't go wrong with a shower beer.
Shower
bro.
Beers were good
before you're going out, just slamming a Coors Light in the shower.
Yeah, and then just to quickly round it out, my top three, I'd say as a new dad. Bro, that after beer mowed lawn special is
that
fire, bro.
That's always good.
Yeah, that's a good one. Like, or just like after yard work in general, bro. You're just like, man, this beer hits so hard right now.
I think probably my favorite spot is to crack the beer when the barbecue's going.
Oh,
that's
a
good one too.
Dude. Barbecue good beer, one too. Like grill beer, like you're
a grill
grilling.
Beer. A grill beer.
Dude, that's a good one. Right on. Good right shit.
On. All right, so like we said, we're gonna get into the NFC North, starting with the Detroit Lions.
The fucking fantasy gold Detroit Lions.
I'll do anything for you, man.
I'll bite a kneecap.
Players they added in free agency. Nothing but defense. Nothing fantasy relevant, so we're just going to skip over that.
If it ain't broken, don't fix
exactly.
it.
Exactly. This team is going all in. They made a nice deep run in the playoffs, so all they really need is defensive help. Players they lost in free agency. Josh Reynolds. I don't really think that moves the needle too much. Maybe... yeah, it's not much of anything for me. What about you guys?
Nah.
No.
Yeah.
Skip.
And then they drafted, see if I can pronounce this correctly, Sione Vaki?
Vaki.
Vaki. Okay. Running back. So, I mean, he's getting drafted into a room that's stacked, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Quickly going over the depth chart. Jared Goff, Hendon Hooker, and then who gives a fuck right after that? It's Jared Goff's fucking show, man.
Remember when they drafted, everyone's like, how Hendon Hooker's the replacement?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that was until Goff.
That guy's not going to see the field.
Nope. Yeah.
Dead.
Nope.
Goff balled out, so later, Hendon.
Running back room, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, the two-headed monster. That was, again, fantasy gold here. And then after that, it's Craig Reynolds and then the rookie. The receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brady's boy, Gamblin' J-Mo. with the departure of Josh Reynolds, Khalif Raymond steps into that three role, and then Donovan Peoples-Jones, and then a bunch of nobodies. So... the TE position, it's Sam Laporta and nobody else.
The TE one.
So let's start with Jared Goff, man. I think it's fair to say he's a fucking baller. Like, he finished quarterback 7, which is an improvement from the year prior when he finished 10. 4,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 12 picks. He did have his ups and downs, which are typical with a lot
his
of quarterbacks outside of the top 5, right?
Right.
I actually looked into that. That's not so much true. He had some good showings away.
In the beginning, it was.
Yeah,
he kind of figured it out near the end.
He finished as low as quarterback 26 on week 14 at Chicago, but then rebounded the next week to finish quarterback 1. So the guy is classic boom or bust. again, to your guys' point, a lot of his work was done early on in the season, and then towards the end of the year, he kind of tapered off and had a lot of outside top 15 finishes, specifically the 2 weeks in the playoffs, which were killer if you had Jared Goff. My opinion on Jared Goff's pretty simple, dude. I think he's the guy you wait too late to, and then you ended up having to draft him out of need. But you got upside. He's a quarterback one. So just be ready for those highs and lows, because those highs can be high and those lows will be low.
And honestly, dude, like outside of the top five QBs, there's not that much difference between like 6 and 10.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There really isn't.
So yeah. Like, you know, if I'm like taking a flyer on Jared Goff later in the rounds, like you mentioned, I'm okay with that, bro.
Right.
Because he's probably going to put up the same value as someone that you would take maybe 3 rounds ahead of him.
And we're going to get into a quarterback in this division that's probably going to go much earlier before him, which I would say you could probably wait. But yeah. One thing to note that I did find interesting about Jared Goff is he threw more than his entire career this season with the Lions, and it was and they won, and they saw success in that. So
and
not,
they won.
Not
Holy
only
shit.
Did they are they winning with on the back of Jared Goff along with a strong, you know, run game, but I see this to continue, man. Like, it's not going to go away.
It's just interesting to think that when this trade happened, everyone thought of like Jared Goff getting casted off to die.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Little did we know, the Lions found their next Matt Stafford,
mm-hmm.
just younger. Like, right. You know, we didn't think they were going to pan out to that. And like, we'll get into all the weapons that we have, but I think one of the biggest things that we don't mention as far as like returning pieces, it's Ben Johnson. The synergy between the head coach and the offensive coach and the quarterback, like, yep. They vibing, baby.
Great point.
Like, there's a reason why this guy's been arguably one of the top head coaching candidates the last two cycles, and he keeps coming back.
Or nobody wants him.
That could be it.
You know?
I mean, I think,
or he's a Lion.
Yeah. Through and through.
Yeah. But, like, at the same time, I think he knows his worth. He's asking sure. He's asking for top head coach money.
Right.
You know? He's like, I just took the fucking Lions to the NFC Championship.
The Lions.
You think I'm going to take some shitty-ass first-time head coach money? Absolutely not. I'm a fucking god.
Right.
Jared Goff. I took Jared Goff.
Jared Goff and
Jared
the Lions.
Fucking Goff and the Lions. What more do you want me to do?
Yeah, I love it, man. I love Jared Goff. I think he's going to be a target for me because I always tend to wait if I don't draft a quarterback early. But along with Jared Goff's success comes on the back of the fucking running back room, which was also fantasy gold here, baby.
And let's even though the Lions threw the most they've ever thrown, or Jared Goff has, mm-hmm. like, this is a run first, run second
exactly.
team.
So let's start with Dave Montgomery. Finally gets out of Chicago, right? Like, and then he looked like the back that we thought he could be. He finished RB17. Not as high as we maybe thought, but looked really good in the beginning of the year. He only played 14 games, but on 14 games, he was 219 attempts, 1,000 rushing yards, 4.6 a clip, 13 touchdowns on the ground, but not much work through the passing game. So he was really buoyed by that goal line work and
very,
you know, the 20-20 type
very
game.
TD dependent. Like a lot of those games, it seemed like if he wasn't scoring a touchdown, he wasn't catching a lot of balls either.
Is
but the problem
11
is,
points.
Like, he was scoring a touchdown almost once a week.
I was going to mm-hmm. say, the flip side of that, dude, anytime they were in the five, it was Montgomery or bust, dude.
I think
yeah.
I maybe
time.
Saw Gibbs one time inside the five.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's it.
If that, dude.
If that.
Yeah.
Which keeps him afloat.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, this is 2 years of them showing this is the system mm-hmm. they run. You know, he took over the Jamal Williams role.
Right, and he's a much better back.
And Jamal Williams was a top 15 back with the Lions,
17 touchdowns.
Exactly, and he literally just filled that role. He just filled that role, and he's a better back.
And let's be honest, touchdowns win championships, bro, in the real world and in fantasy.
Especially from David Montgomery, whom you probably drafted as your RB2, and he just gave you consistent 12 to 18 points a week from your RB2 position. You can't ask for anything.
He may
better.
Have only gotten 30 yards, but he got two touchdowns.
He was a plug and play starter,
exactly,
week in and week out.
So, again, he did a lot of his damage early on while his running mate was kind of still finding his feet. As a rookie, he had two top five finishes in week 4 and week 5. Now, I don't know if we can come to expect that same type of production because his running mate started to take off in the second part of the season. Enter Jahmyr Gibbs, bro. Finished RB10 on 182 rushing attempts, 945 yards. 5 yards per carry, 10 touchdowns, 52 catches, 316 yards receiving, and 1 touchdown through the air. The guy was all passing. For everything that David Montgomery was not in the passing game, this is Jahmyr Gibbs. it was really clear early on that he was kind of finding his footing. It was rough. I think out of the first 5 weeks, it was super rough. But
got
then
worked in for sure.
From week seven and beyond, he was the most electrifying player not named Amon-Ra St. Brown on this offense, dude. And it was clear that the workload started to swing a little bit because David Montgomery's production tapered off towards the end of the year. From weeks 7 to 16, he had 6 top 5 finishes. I expect this to continue because this guy's only getting better. This dude is a bona fide fantasy asset for the next 5 years. I mean, you said it, D. This motherfucker is special.
Yeah, dude. He was electric. He was electric. And while everyone was starting to like panic, like, oh, he doesn't look good, like, I could see past all that. Like, just you did, the kid just needed some time. And as a David Montgomery owner in multiple leagues, like, I started to panic a little bit. It's like, this, like, he's getting more work. He's getting more work. Like, yes, like, Montgomery would slide in once they're within the 10-yard line. But there are a lot of times where he was scoring past the 10.
Right.
You know, so it's like where they didn't need Montgomery to pound it in because the kid was just catching that swing route and he's just taking it to the house. And I expect more of an even split. Right. Honestly, maybe Gibbs even take the workload this year a little bit more.
You just took my point. So, yeah. Like, this is going to be a two-headed monster
this
again.
This is year two.
You can draft David Montgomery and feel okay where you're going to draft him. But just be concerned, be worried, because I very much like you just said, I think Gibbs, as the year goes on, is just going to get better, bro. And he's just going to take more of the share because he's electric, dude. You're not going to give this guy the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So.
But let's see. Moving on with the wide receiver room, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, what is there to say about this guy? He went from this disrespected rookie that got drafted in the 5th round, mm-hmm. that balled out, and everyone kind of gave him the, like, well, who else were they going to throw to?
Sure.
Khalif Raymond, right? And so, and then he did it again. And then he did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And now, lo and behold, the man gets paid like he should.
Oh, yeah.
And he's arguably a top 5 receiver in this league.
And no one talks
and
about him like that,
he's still young, dude.
Dude, I love his stat line. 164 targets, 119 catches, 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns. Just like easy mode. It was probably the easiest 10 touchdowns I've ever seen a receiver get. He got a little banged up, but he still played through those, you know, during the season. But outside of those banged up weeks where he wasn't himself, he was... basically, you're set it and forget it. He was a top 10 receiver, and you're going to draft him as your wide receiver one this year, and you're going to enjoy the fucking show, dude. That's all I have to say about
that. A lot of championship teams had him because he either went in the end of the first or slid into the second round.
That's right.
Yeah.
And value.
I said it last year, too, when we kind of did roundtable and asked about, like, our one player we want on all our teams. For me, it was Amon-Ra, dude. Like, that guy... you guys just nailed it. Like, shows up every year, no matter what, bro. He's always going to get 100-plus targets. He's always going to get close to 100-plus catches. He's always going to get close to, like, the 6 to 10. I think 10 touchdowns is maybe a little bit of an anomaly.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can definitely bank on 6 to 8, most likely.
I just think this team, you want a piece of this team.
Of course you do. This team reminds me of, like, when the Saints were, like, clicking on all cylinders at, like, mm-hmm. every position, bro. Like, and they were just, like, fantasy
or
gold.
The Cowboys with Tony Romo.
Yes,
and
exactly,
Murray.
Dude. Like, this is who the Lions are, bro. At every position, they have a fantasy-relevant player. Literally, yeah. Every position, bro. It's wild. Bananas.
And you know what I love about Amon-Ra St. Brown is not only did he finish wide receiver 3 overall with all the numbers, it's how he does it. He does it every single week. He arguably has the highest, if not one of the highest floors for a wide receiver out of the whole wide receiver class. Like,
yep.
Every week you know he's going to get you 15. He doesn't hit 40, but he's going to get you 15
mm-hmm.
every single week. So there's a lot of comparison. Like, well, who do you take first? You take him or Ja'Marr Chase? There's a real...
you take the fucking guy that's always available.
There's
dude.
A real yep. There's a real argument to take Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Like, yes, Ja'Marr Chase will take over games. But for every, like, 10-point game or single-digit game he has, like, he's going to have that 40 to 50 burger, which he does every fucking year. But, like, some of those games, he's going to lose you.
You need consistency, bro.
And no one's more consistent than Amon-Ra St. Brown, even more consistent than Justin Jefferson. I will say that right now.
I agree. Like, he almost reminds me of more of a modern-day Antonio Brown. Remember how Antonio Brown was just, like, an automatic 15 points every fucking week 7 years ago? It's the same shit.
To me, it's him and CeeDee Lamb. I could plug and play them every fucking week and not have to worry about it.
Yep. Now, for all the things that are Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brady, let's talk about your boy J-Mo, dude.
I wouldn't say he's my boy anymore, but...
So after doing a deep dive into
he's on the market?
Just he's always been on the market. All my team, all my players are on the market, bro. Except for my boy Joshy and Joe.
I'm convinced J-Mo is not in the right situation, dude.
And Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, and Jonathan
Brooks. And Trey Brunson.
I agree. I don't think he is, man.
And Trey McBride.
Well, it'll be interesting with Josh Reynolds gone now. But, like, even so, like, yeah, there's just too many playmakers on this team, bro. Like, we already went through it, you know. David Montgomery, they're going to run the ball with him. Jahmyr Gibbs, he's the most electrifying player they have on that team. Amon-Ra is probably the 1A to that. And, yeah, dude, he's just in a bad situation, to be honest. I think he's a talented kid, but he's in a tough situation, and they're not going to utilize him. And we haven't even talked about the tight end, which I know we'll get into a little bit. But, yeah, I agree.
My biggest
with you,
problem with J-Mo is the fact that this offense is built on the run, and it's a lot of react and short, quick passes out, and J-Mo's kind of a deep threat guy.
I was just going to say.
Don't seem to feature that very much.
I was just going to say that, dude. That's a great point. Like, J-Mo is what he is right now, and that's a deep ball speedster, dude.
Right.
And that's just not who the Lions are. They've never been like that since, Stafford maybe, when he had –
they
I can't
run
even think.
A version of the West Coast kind of.
Yeah.
It's not the – he's just – yeah, like you said, dude, he's just not the best fit for this offense. Because, right, honestly, I'm not worried about all the weapons. Like, they can all be fed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But his skill set is a deep ball guy.
Yeah.
You know, and where if he was just a little bit more like another – like just another version of an Amon-Ra, like that's fine because you could look at the Niners like –
right.
Kind of similar. They have the elite running back. Instead of two, they just have one. It's Christian McCaffrey, right? They could feed. Purdy can supply two top 20 wide receivers and a top five tight end and the number one running back in the game.
Exactly.
So there's no reason why Jared Goff in this office can't do it. The problem is that's just not what J-Mo is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Poor J-Mo.
So, yeah, I'm probably staying away from J-Mo in all my leagues just until we see something different.
They're hyping him up. You know, Coach Campbell.
Of course they are.
Yeah,
though.
Coach Campbell came out. It's like, oh, you know, he's different. He's the best looking guy in camp, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Of course, yeah.
Until he, you know, hits submit and two parlays later, he's out of the league.
He's also the best blackjack player on the team, so let's go. <Yeah. laughs>
J-Mo, I know you're listening, bro. WNBA, it's a gold mine. It's a gold mine.
Let's move on to the second option on this offense from a receiving perspective. Sam Laporta, baby.
Yep.
I think from week one, we were here watching that game, and I was like, dude, who the fuck is this tight end? Because it was like, got all five targets for, you know, 50 yards or whatever, but
I
it was like
that Sam
clean.
Fucking Laporta, Iowa.
Clean, man. And he had three tight end one finishes, eight top five finishes, and with the exception of two bad weeks, this is basically the tight end advantage that we all talk about. He finishes tight end one. I only expect this dude to get better. I got to imagine this is going to be the next great tight end for a long time, or at least one of the candidates.
He can be.
You know?
Yeah. I think my only concern with Laporta has nothing to do with talent, but kind of like a J-Mo situation where he's at. Like, there's just so many, I don't want to say mouths to feed, but Jahmyr Gibbs, I'm taking Jahmyr Gibbs and I'm taking Amon-Ra over Sam Laporta any day of the week.
Sure.
Right? So, like, those two, like I mentioned, are going to be the 1 and 1A playmakers for fantasy here. But with that said, you know, Sam, I mean, showed it last year, bro, like what he's capable of. And clearly he established chemistry with Jared Goff, right? Yeah. So that goes a long way to moving forward. But that would probably be my only worry. I don't think that, you know, that necessarily knocks him out of a potential consensus top five tight end fantasy ranking, because I think that's maybe where we all have him within that top five.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So, but it's just kind of something, you know, to play devil's advocate a little bit to keep my eye on.
I think Sam is the biggest beneficiary to Ben Johnson staying with this team.
That's a great point.
Because while I think he caught everybody by surprise, you know, and he finished as the tight end one overall.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and he had those splash plays. Like, he did a lot of his damage in the first half of the year. And in the second half of the year, he started to taper out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
we saw a lot more Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, we saw a lot more Jahmyr Gibbs, a little bit of a change in the offense. Team started to hone in on him defensively. And it's not like that he was getting schemed out of the games, but there's just too many mouths to feed on this offense.
Sure.
Where I can't see him being a Travis Kelce, where he gets 10 targets a game. You know, or averages 10 targets a game. He's a little volume dependent.
Okay.
You know, because he started kind of, he would have like 4 for 40. I think he started getting some single digit games near the end there. but he still produces enough where, like, he, to me, he's like, he's very Mark Andrews-esque.
You know? That's a nice comment.
Where he's,
I like that.
Even though Mark Andrews is the focal point of that offense, like, I just, from a number standpoint,
yeah,
like, they kind of produce and play the same, in my opinion. But
if you haven't already noticed, you want yourself some fucking Lions action, boys.
Yes, you do. I agree.
Think you can't go wrong anywhere.
No, you can't.
Except for J-Mo. Do not draft J-Mo.
Moving on to the pack.
Do we want to get into the pack or do we want... Let's get into the pack, dude.
Yeah, let's do the pack.
All right. So, the fucking pack. For all the things that we just talked about with the Lions, fantasy gold, and they went out and did all this shit on defensive end, the Packers basically did the same with the exception of adding Josh Jacobs and allowing Aaron Jones to walk away. Other than that, basically all their moves were defensive focused. Players they drafted, Marshawn Lloyd. I know all of us sat around on this table, you guys specifically, and we're like, that fucking blows, because we're going to get into it, but that situation is just a clusterfuck now. Going over the depth chart real quick. Jordan Love and a pile of shit.
Yep.
Running back room, Josh Jacobs, A.J. Dillon, Marshawn Lloyd, and then the guy from last year, Emmanuel Wilson. The receivers, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Devontae Wicks, and Bo Melton. Tight ends, Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. I think Jordan Love went out there and proved he's the guy, man. The
Dude,
fucking
this year, or for last year he did.
You know, for the Packers moving on from Rodgers, they basically handed the keys over to another talented signal caller. He finished as a QB5 with 4,100 yards, 32 touchdowns, to go with 247 yards on the ground and 4 rushing touchdowns. First full year starting, Love definitely had some up and downs and really took off in between weeks 11 to 15. So with a full year under his belt, I expect him to get even a little bit better. And most importantly, he played his best ball when it mattered towards the end of the season when they really needed him to command the offense. And it's clear that he's the focal point of this offense. Way too early ADP is 57, which to me is way too early.
Way too early.
And I'm staying away from it. For all the things that I said, I would wait to draft a player like Jared Goff to avoid having a player to draft like this in the fourth round.
That's top 5 quarterback territory.
Yep.
And yeah, I just don't see that.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm more like, if I don't get one of those top 3, I'm going to wait for Goff, Cousins, guys like that in later rounds, because I think there's upside there, high-end quarterback 2s. Like Brady, you just said earlier, there's not much fucking difference from quarterback 5 to quarterback fucking 12. Like,
yeah,
you know, on a points per game basis.
Yeah.
So,
57's way too early.
Way too early.
Unless you're Jalen, Patrick, or Josh, like you can sit on the. I'll throw Lamar in there.
Right.
Like you can sit on the rest of the quarterbacks.
Exactly.
You know, and just let your league mates make Lock the fir- let your first like let all the other league mates make the move,
mm-hmm.
and you could end up with a Justin Herbert.
Exactly.
Or Joe Burrow, or, and I'm going to sprinkle this a little teaser for like way down the road, a Kyler Murray.
Oh, baby.
You know, in the later rounds. So love the talent. If you sat on him on your dynasty teams, and I know a lot of people didn't, because in all of our leagues, he got moved around a lot.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And whoever ended up with him, congratulations.
Thank you.
You got your quarterback for the next 10 years.
Facts. Thank you. Factual statement. So
who would have thought that he would have been a better pick than Justin Herbert? But
just,
here I am.
Dude, from an NFL standpoint, like, you could just tell, you just watch the kid grow.
He's good.
Like, okay, like, you could tell it was a little fast.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of started to take in a dive, and you're like, oh, no. Like, oh, it's a bummer. He's not, it's too big for him.
Yep.
And then it just clicked.
Something happened. Oh, I know. He played the Chargers.
I was about to say it.
Wow, this is like high school all over again.
This is all it takes.
Freaking went to Dallas, whooped that ass, dude.
Yep.
Like, yeah, the kid, he grew up, and yeah, I mean, he's definitely a great fantasy quarterback, but I'm not taking him in the fourth, fifth round.
Neither am I. I'm waiting.
Way too early.
So let's talk about the running back room and how much of a disaster it is. So Josh Jacobs comes over from the Raiders to grab that bag, baby.
I wouldn't say it's a disaster as much as it doesn't make any sense.
It's a disaster, dude.
You know what? I'm kind of a pretty, like, to me, it's like, oh, this is Josh Jacobs' backfield.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. To me, it just doesn't make any sense, really. But
this is Josh Jacobs' backfield, but what we're talking about here is a guy that went from running back 3 in 2022 to running back 28. Massive drop-off. Missed time. Had the lowest yards per carry of his entire career. All lows across the board. 805 yards rushing. 6 touchdowns. 37 catches and 296 yards out of your probably first round or early second round pick.
Like, just from a pure NFL standpoint, I don't know the name of the Packers GM, but I would have rather just had A.J. Dillon as my one than rather than pay Josh Jacobs. They're the same back.
I would have paid Aaron Jones half the money just to continue to do what they had. Like, yeah, you know, because I feel like
it doesn't make any sense. I don't get
Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon were a good complement to one another. Now you have fucking Josh Jacobs, whose profiles as a three down back, and no A.J. Dillon now.
Not to mention you just drafted Marshawn Lloyd to play the Aaron Jones role, but you're also going to pay Josh Jacobs a ton of money.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs to me is young enough where I could see him producing 1 year.
No, dude. What do we tell people? You don't fucking draft running backs on their second
contract. You don't draft a Raider ever, no matter where they go.
And I'm getting there. I mean, that was my point in the end. But he's on his second contract. I don't want him as my lead back.
I feel like he's been in the league for 10 fucking years, dude.
It feels like it for sure.
You know?
Because he's super young.
Right.
You know, and honestly, Josh Jacobs overall, like, he's been a good back. He's been a good fantasy back. He's, like, you don't think of him in the same conversation as, like, the Ecklers and the McCaffreys or, you know, the top of the top. But he's been tier two his whole career.
With the exception, I mean, and couple that with the fact that he's played on the Raiders his whole fucking life. Yeah, maybe he could have been better, but
yeah, I don't love the move. And like, I see what you're saying. It's a bit of a disaster because it seems like there's three relevant running backs,
right?
That could all do work, but just from his body of work,
like, it should be Josh Jacobs.
It should be Josh Jacobs. He has a three down skill set. He could run. He can catch. He could pound at the goal line. This should be a good offense, you know. For all like the star power that we just talked about with the Lions, like as you're reading up that depth chart.
They have a lot of good players.
I'm like that kid produces.
Yeah.
You know, Lloyd. I like Lloyd, but like, you know, don't love the landing spot. But he's got talent, and
they're
like,
and they're young.
They're young, dude.
Yeah,
they're super young.
Yeah.
Which is even more confusing. So now they got an aging running back that's making $48 million for the next 4 years.
They can get out of that contract.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, that's why I'm like, he's probably
there. He is, dude. Josh, he's at the Angel game.
Falling asleep. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really love the signing.
I think I'm out on this backfield, man.
I mean, I'm not going to own a piece of it.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. Me either.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, unless I'm going like zero RB and Josh really slid.
Yeah, that'd
like,
be
then happy. I'll buy it, you know, but other than that,
if he fell that far like to fifth round, then I'm like fucking pumped.
I'll own one of those wideouts.
He did. He did when I won the league.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I don't expect him to be RB3 again.
You guys kind of just touched on this a little bit. Very young receiver room. Christian Watson. Probably last year's letdown of the century, I would say. I mean, dude was hurt a lot.
That's what happens when you have asymmetrical hamstrings.
He wasn't on the field much, and when he was not good. This is now two straight years of injury problems, and he finished wide receiver 68. I'm starting to think this is who this guy is.
Yeah, maybe, dude.
For all the boomer and bust that he was his rookie year, all I'm seeing now is more bust than ever.
I think that's fair.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's fair, man. Well, like you said, injuries have held him back, and even when he's on the field, it's not like the hard part with him is he's in an offense that he's not like a go-to guy.
Sure.
So LaFleur is going to spread the ball around all the time, dude, which is a detriment.
And so that's
to him.
Kind of like how Jordan Love is too. Like, he's more of a field
exactly just
than
him
anything.
Yeah, just Jordan Love, the quarterback, and how he plays, that's who he is as well. Like, he doesn't hyper target anybody per se, so that's already, you know, not a good thing in Christian Watson's favor. But yeah, man, I kind of agree, dude. Like, it's been what, 2 years now?
Yeah,
both years he's been hurt, and you know, A-Rod's not there to like throw him deep balls in the end zone anymore. So yeah, dude, I don't know, man. Like, I'm personally out on Christian Watson. I do like another wide receiver who I know you're going to touch on here in a bit, but yeah, for me, I'm staying away from Christian, I think.
I'm also going to stay away from Christian. You know, even though he figured out that he's got asymmetrical hamstrings and he went to the specialists and whatnot and whatever, like, I mean, I could maybe I'll take a flyer on him if he slides, but I don't want him as one of my starters where I have to depend on him to do work.
Yeah.
Because he's shown no rapport with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Love's kind of got established and we kind of already know where he's going to go. And I'm sure we're going to get into him here next.
Yeah.
You know, but
his running mate, Romeo Doubs, finishes wide receiver 36.
Not the guy I was thinking about, but okay, Romeo Doubs.
Me either, but he also throws him the ball.
We can talk about Romeo Doubs, yeah.
Collectively, another year of question marks, missed games. I'm not really sure who you trust with these either of these two, one and two running our receivers.
Romeo's hard because he doesn't get the volume, dude. Like, he only gets, like, four or five targets a game, if that. I mean, he catches 80% of them, which is nice, but, like, the yardage isn't there. The touchdowns aren't really there.
Romeo's nice when someone's injured.
Yes, I agree. Yep. He's a good receiver, dude. But, like, yeah, for me, the volume's just not there. And kind of what D just mentioned with Christian, I don't really necessarily think the chemistry's there all that well either, but I do think it's there with the next guy. Well, I know that's D who was alluding to, and that's what I was talking about earlier, too.
Just keep going down the notes, yeah. Frank. Luke Musgrave.
Jaden Reed, baby.
Jaden Reed.
That's the guy.
There's the guy, dude. Yeah.
So he seems to be the guy that Jordan Love seems to favor the most.
Jordan Love spreads the ball around.
I was going to say, even then, it's not so much because he does spread the ball, but...
But Jaden Reed looks like the best passing option in this offense.
It passes the eye test of, like, okay...
25th overall PPR.
Yeah, it passes the eye test of, like, okay, these guys are boys. Like, this guy likes this guy. So, and, I mean, it's clear as day.
And he was one of those... When he got drafted, I think he got drafted in the second round, and everyone's like, really?
Yeah,
like,
a little early, I
like,
think,
early,
for a lot of people.
Like, what are the Packers doing, you know...
Classic Packers.
Classic
dude.
Packers. But I think the Packers just beat to their own drum, dude. They don't take need. They just take the best player available all the time. Because, like, hey,
respect,
you guys,
dude.
You guys
they figure out a
Romeo
way to make it
Dubs.
Work. Yeah.
You just took Bo Melton. You just took Christian Watson. But here they are drafting Jaden Reed. And he got off to a slow start. But when I think the emergence of Jordan Love also came the emergence of Jaden Reed.
Yep.
Because, like you said, Frank, Jordan Love kind of started to take off, what, week 11 to week 15?
That's right.
From week 10 on, Jaden Reed had five top 12 finishes.
That's nice.
You know, and then the games where he kind of dudded, it's because he got injured and had like a 50% snap share.
Yeah.
You know, but he looked electric. And it's easy to comp him to Tyreek Hill because any small, fast, shifty wide receiver on the football field looks like a Tyreek Hill, but he looked like a Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You know, just getting open, you know, winning jump balls.
Kind of like, in that mold of Tyreek. Yeah,
he's in the Tyreek mold where, like, they were using him all over the place, whether it's in the backfield, on jet sweeps, lining him up in the slot, lining him up outside. The kid was a chess piece that they were moving all over the place, and he was arguably Jordan Love's favorite target.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, the only point that I have here is it's really hard to trust other than outside of Jaden Reed with a lot of these receivers because of the fact that Jordan Love tends to spread the ball around. So it's just going to be... It's going to be really interesting, I think, after Reed. Luke Musgrave, the rookie tight end from last season, was the immediate starter, and he was serviceable until he got banged up late in the year. I think there's some talent there, but very similar to the whole wide receiver problem. Like, just I tried to tend to temper expectations here until I see a reason to change them. So
the hard part, too, is Jordan Love likes his tight ends, but this team plays with two tight ends a lot.
Yeah,
yeah, they
and
do.
Whether it was, like, if only Luke Musgrave... or Tucker Kraft was just one person, like, because I feel like combined they're like tight end 10.
Right.
The problem is, like, he splits the ball to both. And once Luke went down, then it kind of became Tucker's show.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
But when Luke was there, it was kind of Luke's show. But none of them were really doing enough to really warrant being drafted.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also tough, too, because I don't know if you guys remember this, but Luke Musgrave was like the 1A to Dalton Kincaid in the NFL draft. Like, a lot of scouts held him as like the next good tight end.
Ahead of Sam Laporta.
Yep. Ahead of Sam Laporta, the next good pass catching tight end. But yeah.
We were there too. I think we had,
yep.
I think we had Musgrave 3 and
yeah.
Laporta 4.
But you know, like JMO in Detroit, I think he's just in an unfavorable position here in Green Bay. Like you mentioned, he, you know, they're not big on the tight end position nor throwing it to them. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great point, dude. Like, if Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft were, like, the same guy or combined into one, It kind of reminds me of like, you guys remember the old Lake Show dude with Bynum and Gasol?
Yeah.
Yes. They're one center dude. The perfect player, dude. That's who we need. That's what it kind of reminds me of. Like Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, they would complement each other so well if they're one person, but they're not, dude. So Jaden Reed, you're the guy, dude. Yeah.
No, not in redraft.
Yeah.
In Dynasty, like I like both of them to be like your backup tight end.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, possibly because like they're very, very like mid, like I'd say top tight end like 10 to 15. Like,
yeah.
They're both like 4 for 40 and maybe they'll score a touchdown.
Yep. Maybe. You know, but. Maybe.
But yeah. I mean, the Vikings, they're not the Vikings. The Packers are interesting. Like, I could see this team.
They're young, man.
Taking a step.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at the end of the year if we're like, oh, yeah. Like, Jordan Love, if you took him at 57, like, yeah. Like, you hit on that.
Yeah. Out, I was just going to say, strictly for fantasy purposes, though, the only person I'm probably touching is Jordan Love. That's about it.
Like, oh, I'm with you.
I'll take
Jaden Reed.
Oh yeah, and Jaden Reed. Excuse me. I'll take Jaden Reed as well. But like outside of that, there's just too many. Like the ball moves to way too many positions, dude. Like it's not for me here.
It's tough.
Yeah.
You gotta wait for one of these guys to emerge.
Yep. So. Agreed.
Agreed.
Are we to the Vikings now?
The Vikings.
Let's get to the Vikings, boys. All right, the Minnesota Vikings. Did you guys know that
Minnesota?
Minnesota's in my blood, actually. I'm like a low-key Minnesota fan.
I did know that.
Yeah. My ancestors migrated to Minnesota, and that's where my home state is, technically.
Hmm.
So, let's go Vikings.
I thought you were from Inglewood.
I am. Shut the fuck up. Inglewood? Anyways, boys. Okay, let's get into it here with the Vikings. So, players they added in free agency or trade. Not a whole lot going on here. Sam Darnold, you guys remember that guy? He's still in the league somehow, and he signed on with the Vikings and is presumably the number one, and we'll get into that here in a second. Just how we talked about the pack, Aaron Jones makes the trip over to Minnesota from Wisconsin. He is there now with the Vikings, also as the now presumably number one. And the biggest signing, or I don't want to say signing, but extension overall, I will say, as we touched on earlier in the episode, Justin Jefferson is back for another, well, what was it, 4 years?
4 years.
Yeah, 4 years on top of his, I think he had two left, something like that. So JJ's in Minnesota for a while. Some players they lost, the legendary Captain Kirk, Captain Target Kirk, dude.
This one hurts, man.
This one hurts for sure. Kirk is a good guy. I think everyone loves him in the NFL. Everyone loves him as a fan.
You like that?
I mentioned the Target reference as in reference to the actual store Target. I don't know if you guys saw the QB show on Netflix, how he used to shop at Target.
That's where he
shops. That's where he shops.
Gets his wardrobe.
Yeah. Also another QB legend that left, Josh Dobbs, dude.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I mean.
You mean the Pastronaut?
Yeah. He's gone, brother. Josh Dobbs definitely. I mean, he kind of took the league by storm for a little while there. But
that was weird.
Yeah, it was definitely weird. But he is also out. Alexander Mattison, also a notable Viking from years past. He is gone. And KJ Osborne is gone as well. Players drafted, only notable for fantasy purposes, is their new shiny new toy, JJ McCarthy. All right, boys, so we'll get into depth chart here. So like I mentioned, Sam Darnold steps in just by vet leadership. I don't even want to say leadership alone, but just being a vet overall.
By what?
Yeah.
He doesn't have any leadership.
I know. Sam
seniority.
Darnold.
Seniority.
Yeah, seniority. Thank you, D. That's the word I'm looking for. Sam Darnold's the de facto number one for the time being. JJ McCarthy follows second. Nick Mullins is back, who I think actually might.
Big Dick Nick.
I think maybe he might make his way to some games this year, but who knows. And then Jaren Hall rounds it out. The running back room, Aaron Jones, like we mentioned, is the new RB1, followed by Ty Chandler. Kenne, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I just remember from Hard Knocks.
Ngannou,
thank you, D. And Miles Gaskin, yes, Gaskin is still in the league. Pretty wild. Wide receiver room, Justin Jefferson, we mentioned, is the alpha and the all-world wide receiver, still
alpha,
the number
the
one
Omega.
There.
Omega.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's everything there. Jordan Addison, the promising rookie from last year, is going to step in the net two role. And then they re-signed Brandon Powell, who had kind of a nice run a little bit last year with them for a little while. And then lastly, here at the tight end room, TJ Hockenson. How quickly you forget about this guy. I feel like I know he busted his knee, but I mean, this kid is a monster. Let's not forget. He is there back as the tight end one, Josh Oliver, and then Robert Tonyan rounded out. So let's get into it, boys. As I mentioned, Sam Darnold, he replaces Kirk Cousins as Minnesota's starting QB. His way too early ADP, last I checked, is do not draft this guy, dude.
He is none.
Yeah, he is an absolute nobody. Oh, he's done nothing his whole career. I don't expect that to change. And with that said, like I mentioned, Minnesota drafted a nice shiny new toy in J.J. McCarthy, where he went to school, Frank?
Michigan.
Attaboy. I feel like that's a bit of a layup, but...
Yeah, that one's a layup.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Frank, do you know where Sam Darnold went to school?
Yeah, USC.
Wow. Okay, we got to go down the whole depth chart. Nick Mullins, go.
Fuck, I don't know that one. That one's tough.
D?
I don't think I'm right on this. Is it Washington State?
I actually don't even know either. So someone pull it up. I think it's a Southern school, to be honest.
Okay. Ty Chandler.
Ooh, I don't know.
I don't know where Ty Chandler went either.
He played college, University of Southern Mississippi, Nick Mullins.
I was close.
Southern Mississippi, that's right, because he was like getting comped to Brett Favre as like a gunslinger.
And Ty Chandler went to Tennessee.
Did he go to Tennessee? I did not know that.
He did.
Anyways, boys, so like I mentioned, J.J. McCarthy, he's right now the presumed backup to Sam Darnold. I don't expect that to be a presumption past week four, to be very honest.
That's what I said.
Dude. Like I said, Sam Darnold.
You think they're going to be losing?
I think they're going to lose the first 3 weeks of the year.
Yeah, dude. And
but Jefferson's going to feast because
Dave,
they're going to be
losing.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that. But like, dude, like I mentioned, Sam Darnold has done diddly whole career. I mean what is going to change your mind about that, dude? Nothing.
I don't know, man. I don't know either.
Honestly
have no idea what Minnesota was thinking. Just
he played in 10 games last year and threw for 300 yards. That's like 30 yards a game. What the fuck?
Sam Darnold?
Yeah, didn't he?
No,
he just came in at the end probably because he was on the Niners, I think.
Yeah. I thought he played like in a handful of games.
He probably just came in when they were dominating.
He played like two games.
I thought he played more.
If anything, he came in at the end of games when they're blowing teams out.
Either way, dude, don't expect a lot from Sam Darnold.
The point is, he's ass, dude.
Don't expect a lot from this whole QB room, to be very honest. Yeah. But, you know, like I mentioned, I do like the fact, or I do think that JJ is definitely going to take over, I would say, within the first month. Like, I would be shocked if it wasn't. Sooner,
this team
actually.
Is not going to be competitive. So what they're going to quickly see is that we might as well see what we can do with J.J. McCarthy and speed up his development and just throw him in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's going to torpedo Justin Jefferson, and everybody's going to be pissed off.
I don't think so. I'll get into that in a second.
J.J. McCarthy will torpedo Justin Jefferson's value.
I don't think so, dude. I'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
Moral of the story is don't draft a Minnesota QB because there's absolutely no point in doing so.
I will say, though, for Dynasty... Like, I see what you can get for Sam Darnold. Like, to be your quarterback three, or maybe you
that's
have
not
Sam.
A bad
maybe
strat.
You have Sam Darnold and go talk to the J.J. McCarthy owner and see if he'll just throw you a second. And if you know,
a
if you can get a third, you're happy, dude.
Right.
You know, if you can get a starting level quarterback for a second round, like, I think you're winning, you know, especially in a super flex league.
So sure.
And every team, every dynasty team should be three quarterbacks deep. Whether you're single quarterback or if you're super flex, you definitely need to be three quarterbacks deep. And Sam Darnold is a good band-aid, you know, to be your third quarterback. You don't want to rely on him.
He's a good emergency QB, dude.
Exactly. He's a good emergency quarterback.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on to the running backs. So, like I mentioned, Aaron Jones is with the Vikings now after a solid career with the Pack. He is the number one in what most likely will be a timeshare. I'm anticipating to be a timeshare. Any running back room Aaron Jones has been in a timeshare. He missed a lot of time last year in the process, fucked a lot of people over. Frank, I'm looking at you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yep. But, I mean, to me, it's only up from here, boys. Like, what did he play? Like 10, 11 games last year?
So the games that he did play, he looked good.
Exactly.
And he looked really good.
Exactly. He looked like that customary RB2 we come to expect that he's been over the last handful of years. I mean, he's a little up there in age. I think his best years are behind him, to be honest. But I think you can do worse as an RB2 than Aaron Jones. What do you guys think?
I agree. Yeah. I traded for Aaron Jones late in the season, and he was hurt for a lot of the year, but... He did have a couple games when he looked like himself, and so there is some like hope that if he is coming into the season healthy, that maybe he can rekindle a portion of that magic.
Yeah, I just think,
especially on a team where like it's going to be his backfield to lose. It might be a two-headed backfield, but like they didn't sign Aaron Jones for him to be a backup.
Right. And I just think also, as we just touched on, the quarterback play, garbage, dude.
Yep.
Like you're going to need to lean on that run game. So Aaron Jones, if he can stay healthy, I like him to rebound, like I said, as an RB2.
I just don't love that he's old as fuck and he's injury prone.
Yep.
Like, and for that, he's going to be off my board. And I'll take the L if he blows up. But the problem is he's just not doing it anymore.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if anything, bet the over when he plays the Packers both times.
Ooh.
Like, I'll just say that. Like, that guy's got revenge game written all over him.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And Ty Chandler's a good back.
Ty Chandler's a good back, who I'm just going to get into right now.
Won me a league.
Yep. Yeah. So backing up, as we just mentioned, is Ty Chandler. So he didn't have a lot of run last year, but the games that he did have, he looked pretty damn good. His YPC guys was 4.5 last year, which was better than some more notable running backs such as Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, and Jonathan Taylor. That's pretty damn impressive. I think he's a great, great insurance policy to have on your team if you're an Aaron Jones owner. Even if you're not an Aaron Jones owner, I would look to possibly add him as a bench piece.
Yes, if you're going to draft Aaron Jones, you need to reach on Ty Chandler and take him a round early, round ahead of his ADP, just to lock up that backfield, because Aaron Jones is going to miss time.
Yeah.
He's going to miss time.
Yeah, we just laid it out. He'll definitely probably get hurt. D mentioned he's very injury prone, especially now as he's older. And even if he's not older, like I mentioned, like he's always been in a timeshare. I don't know if that's just because the Packers knew that he was soft to Sharman, but he's never been like a lead back, three down potential.
Never.
Yeah, he's never been that guy. And like I mentioned, with the fact that the emergence of Ty Chandler last year, I wouldn't be surprised if actually Ty Chandler outsnapped Aaron Jones this year.
And Aaron Jones is the only addition to that backfield.
Yes.
When Alexander Mattison went down, because primarily the Vikings in the past and at the start of the year split a little bit of work. It was a little 60-40.
Yep.
But the moment Alexander Mattison, who was the de facto number one on that offense from the running back room, went down, there was no split. They just gave the whole workload to Chandler. And Ngakoue, or whatever his name is, he's been in that team for like 4 years now.
Yeah, he knows the system.
He knows the system, and he's still not getting snaps. He's a special team only kind of guy. So when Aaron Jones goes down, Ty Chandler will be the bench piece to plug in, or he's going to be that guy you're going to drop a ton of fab on.
Yep. 100%. Moving along to the wide receivers. So Justin Jefferson, as we mentioned, he was extended to a massive record deal and absolutely deserving so. And did we just blow the game?
Joe Adele.
No, not okay, yet.
Fucking horrible, dude.
Okay, cool.
Tell me,
did he drop another ball?
Yeah, oh, look at that. The sky was blue today.
He dropped the fucking ball. Look at
no,
this.
No, he didn't.
Look at this. I got it.
No, oh,
I don't.
No.
It hit his foot.
Okay, I'm going home. You guys finish it out.
God.
Anyways, boys. But back to JJ.
Oh,
so
God.
He has been one of, if not the best fantasy wideout the last few years. So one thing to kind of keep an eye on, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, no Kirk Cousins. But to me, that doesn't really matter, dude. O'Connell seems to find a way to get this guy the ball no matter what. We saw it with Mullins last year. That guy force-fed him all the time. I'm really not worried about JJ with his targets or his production.
Am worried.
Okay.
I'm also worried.
The respect. I am not. I'll be the lone wolf on this one.
It's fucking Sam Darnold, dude.
I don't care, dude. I don't care who it is. Like, if you're an NFL coach, you need to be smart enough to find a way to get your best player the ball. And O'Connell is that. And whether that means, like, readjusting JJ's routes, I don't care what it is, dude. Like, he'll find a way to get him the ball.
O'Connell is going to need to physically go out there and play quarterback to get him the ball.
You're right, dude.
There's maybe. No fucking way, dude. Like,
maybe, bro. All I'm saying, okay, so with that said, then, all right, here's an interesting topic then, I guess, and maybe to my next point. I still think JJ is a top five pick in redrafts this year. Do you guys agree?
You have to take JJ top five.
You
can't be the ass clown.
So,
that's like,
okay,
no,
hold on.
I'm not
so
drafting
JJ. You're like disproving your point then, I think, in my mind.
I'm worried about Justin Jefferson, but I'm not going to take him where he should be taken because okay. I don't want to be the guy that looks like the asshole when Justin Jefferson becomes...
Falls to seven and you lose to that guy in the playoffs, dude.
Exactly. You just exactly, can't take the dude. Risk of like not of passing up JJ and then him having success and then you having to explain, well, I fucking thought, you know, Sam Darnold was a piece of shit.
Right.
You
know? Fuck Sam, what the fuck,
bro? Broke me, dude. You know, it's, but like, yeah, I'm just worried. Like, it's just something to keep in your mind. Like, it's not Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Who is a baller, dude.
Yeah.
You know? So there's just some concern there.
Yeah.
I
hear you. D?
I might be that ass clown and pass on him, dude.
Wow. You're the man. Okay.
So right now his ADP is
put
five.
It on the board.
Yeah, his, put it on the board.
So right now his Sticker ADP it. Is five. You yeah. know? And like, historically.
Take Kyren.
This yeah, exactly, Frank. Put here your money in your mouth. But historically, like, you got to hit on that first pick.
Exactly.
And he comes with more volatility than ever. Mm-hmm. You know, strictly from the standpoint that even with and without Kirk Cousins last year, he didn't do it. And he was injured.
Yep.
And he's, I don't want to say he's a diva.
He just got paid, too.
But the man just got paid, and his quarterback room is literally still falling off the cliff as we speak.
Right.
Yeah.
So... And you're telling me you want me to take that guy number five overall,
I'm,
you know,
I'm
or
scared.
In the top five? Like, I'm probably not going to do that. He'd have to fall to six
okay.
or seven.
Amon-Ra so, or Justin
Amon
Jefferson?
Amon-Ra.
I like that.
Oof.
Right? Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb?
Oh, it's CeeDee Lamb.
It's CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
All right, so now that's two. Justin Jefferson or Christian McCaffrey?
CMC.
That's three. Okay.
Wait a minute. So you guys are saying you would take Amon-Ra in the top five?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would deeply consider it, dude.
Okay.
Okay, so here's a good one. Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase?
Probably, fuck.
Do you? One's got a quarterback, one doesn't.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chase, I think.
Okay.
Although Chase comes with more volatility.
He comes with, he can put up 40 or 5, or he could not play because he's hurt.
So okay, so you're telling me, would you take Amon-Ra over CeeDee Lamb?
No. I think CeeDee Lamb, for okay. me, is probably my wide
okay.
receiver one.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb's wide receiver one, okay. and CeeDee Lamb is probably the second or third player taken.
Okay, yeah. No problem. Would you take Amon-Ra over C-Mac?
No. I love running backs.
Okay, would you take Amon-Ra over Breece Hall?
And Breece Hall's the last piece. Would you take Breece Hall over Justin Jefferson, too?
I would take Breece Hall over Justin Jefferson and probably over Amon-Ra, yeah.
Okay.
Breece is in my top five.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, that's, at least from Frank's standpoint, that's five players you just said you would take over Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's where JJ sits.
I think that's also a really honest conversation that a lot of people are going to be having this in this offseason, dude, is that, like, can you handle Sam Darnold? Like, I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
Throw Jahmyr Gibbs in there.
How many fucking times are you going to turn on NFL Sunday and be like, I can't wait to watch Sam Darnold throw my boy balls? Come on, dude. Like, you're not doing that.
I don't think it's Sam, though, like I said. I think JJ is going to be in there sooner.
I'm saying, like, today, you know, it's Sam.
Than later.
But still, even then, that's a downgrade.
And you know what? And, like, I didn't really touch on it. I just kind of let you guys do your thing. I don't hate Sam. And maybe that's just a USC homerism.
That's exactly what that is.
In me? But, I mean, out of all the veteran quarterbacks that O'Connell could have added to this offense, they picked Sam fucking Darnold.
Because he spent a fucking year sitting under Mike Shanahan's dick, dude.
Exactly.
So they think they fixed him.
Exactly,
you
dude.
Can't fix Sam Darnold, bro. He sees ghosts.
He's the kid from
bro,
Sixth Sense,
bro.
Oh,
my God.
Dude, he saw ghosts like 20 years ago.
He still sees
you can't
him.
Fix what's dead, brother.
What is dead may never die, yeah. bro.
But we don't need Sam to be some fantasy god. Sam just needs to feed his weapons, you know. And if you look at Sam's career, this is the best fucking team he's ever fucking played on, with the exception of the Niners, where he backed it up.
I was gonna say
because he was asked to play for the Jets. You know,
fair.
Not with Adam Gase.
And they ruin everybody.
Adam Gase isn't even in the fucking league. He can't even get a job in Canada. He can't even get a job in NFL Mexico, dude. Like, Adam Gase is working at Walmart. You know what? As a matter of fact, he can't even get a job at Walmart right now. Like, the dude's homeless on the streets.
Wow.
And, like, so he went from that to the Panthers, you know? And they said, beat out Baker Mayfield, which he did. And then he got injured and amounted to nothing.
Right,
so this to me, it's like, all right, this is literally like this is the end of Sam's journey. Like, all right, Sam, like, we're giving
this
you
is your last chance.
We're
dude.
Giving you arguably the most talented wide receiver in the league, you know, a solid running mate, a decent, like, you know, this is his teammate the playoffs years ago. So it's like, do I think Sam's going to be a QB1? No. Like, could Sam put up fucking middling quarterback? Can he throw for 200 yards and 100 of that go to JJ every week? Yes.
Sure.
That's all you need to do, Sam. You know, so I don't hate Sam, but at the end of the day, like, I just, if I'm going to spend a top five pick.
Yeah, that's what we're like, talking
about. I don't want his quarterback to be
you
Sam
You don't
want to
watch Sam Darnold
like,
on Sunday, dude.
Yeah,
you don't.
Like, you know, and that's like for me, for all the hype I just gave Sam, like, yeah, but you're still not that good. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm just, you know, I just, is Justin Jefferson going to be a top 10 wide receiver?
Probably.
Most likely. With Sam or without Sam. But I don't think he's good enough to be taken in the top five. Because now you're putting him at QB wide receiver two, wide receiver three territory. And my balls just aren't that big.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, let's move to his running mate here. Jordan Addison, a promising rookie receiver from last year. Something I found interesting, guys, I did not know this, but he led all rookie receivers in touchdowns last year with 10.
1 week he had 251 yards receiving.
Yeah, he had a
like
monster game. Yeah, he had a monster game.
Dude, he looks like the real deal. He's
So I think the attention that Jefferson will continue to get is, again, going to open up some big games for him again this year. He's probably going to fall to the mid to late rounds, which I think based off his production last year, you know, that game with Standing Frank that you said. Overall, I think he had a very solid rookie year. He had like 70 catches, 900 yards with the 10 touchdowns. So if I'm getting that at my flex position in the mid to late rounds, I'm pretty happy with that. I think overall he finishes wide receiver 23. So if I'm getting that, like I said, 7-8,
low end wide receiver,
6-7-8, yeah, something like that, I'll take that, dude.
I like
all
him
day.
As a flex. You know, he's got some real upside. He
does.
He's one of the wide receivers I see him taking a step.
Yeah,
if
I agree.
He proved when Jefferson went out that he could handle the wide receiver one.
Yep.
Like, bona fide.
Absolutely. But if you are looking for the true pass catcher number two on this offense, that would be none other than tight end TJ Hawkinson,
oh,
dude.
Oh, baby.
Dude.
What could have been, dude?
Yeah. As previously mentioned, I don't think Sammy Boy is going to be holding on to this position at QB very long, which opens up the door for JJ to come in, which we all know rookie QBs tend to lean on their tight ends. The problem with this, as we kind of alluded to earlier, TJ, yeah, is injured. He's still recovering from his knee issue. I think he actually tore both his ACL and MCL.
He won't be ready.
If I remember correctly, he won't be ready for the beginning of the season, but he is on track to return, I think, week 5 or 6. And if I'm getting like 12, what is that? What does that give us? Like 11, 12 games, right?
Yeah.
Of possible elite tight end production. That's something that I'm intrigued by, bro. Like, this guy showed it last year. I think in 12 of the 15 games he played, he put up double-digit points in those games. And at the tight end position, that's all you can hope for, bro, is double-digit points. If you're getting that on a consistent basis out of the tight end position, that's pretty much a win, dude. Like, there's no other tight ends that are doing that consistently like Hawk. So
what are you doing with him, though? Are you?
Yeah, I just read that Kevin O'Connell basically said he's going to start out on the pup.
Yeah.
So that's 6 weeks
think,
that he's not
I don't
playing.
Think we're seeing him till November.
Yeah.
That's the last
at least.
That I heard. Yeah. And as much as I love Hawkinson, dude, and everything you're saying, like, I'm not going to stash him. You know,
no way.
I'm not going to stash a tight end. You know, when it comes around, you know, maybe I'll spend a little bit of fab on him. And even though, like, an ACL recovery for a tight end isn't like, you know, a running back recovering, it's just, you know, coming off an ACL injury halfway through the year with a brand new quarterback, doesn't matter who's fucking throwing to him.
Sure.
Like, he's not going to be that guy. You know, like, to me, it's like I'm looking forward to Hawkinson next season.
And like, I also think that this year there's going to be a lot of interesting young options at the tight end position that you can take a chance on instead of just fucking waiting for this.
See, I think the opposite in that, though. I think the fact that those promising tight ends showed out last year, I'm a big believer. I know they're all not all sophomores, but I'm a big believer in the sophomore slump, bro. I don't think Laporta is going to have a huge year like he did last year. I don't think McBride is going to be the consistent weapon in Arizona that we think he's going to be with the addition of Marvin and a healthy Kyler. I don't think, you know, Kincaid is going to maybe replicate what he's going to do last year. I think all those dudes are going to take a step back. And if I can find value at that position, and you're going to tell me a guy that finishes tight end number four last year is after only going to miss a handful of games, dude, and come back in week five or six, and you're still going to give me 10, 11 games worth potentially, like I said,
production. It's going to be 6 weeks, dude.
I don't care what it is, bro.
That's a lot. That's half your fantasy.
I'm saying is if he's falling and falling and falling and I can get him in later rounds and have a filler, because we all know, bro, if you don't get like a top three tight end, it's a fucking crapshoot at that position,
true.
Dude.
That's true.
So you just throw out a tight end any week and you're telling me if TJ Hawkins isn't there in the 7th round, 8th round, you're not going to take a flyer on him?
Fuck no.
Not
in the 7th or 8th round. I'm still drafting.
Your team's already done. What the fuck are you talking about?
Stacking running backs and receivers around.
No, dude. Exactly. Dude. I might if and first of all, I will just say this now. Like, I'm not going to stash him. Like, I played this game too long. It never fucking works, dude. It never fucking works.
Here comes this guy, dude.
Heard the same shit with Michael Thomas. Heard the same shit with AJ Green.
Factual statement.
I've tried it. You know, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Now, I will say, like, okay, let's say it's October and he's slated to come back week 8. You know, and I have a need at tight end. I've got fucking one of these guys that's just not doing it for me. Yes, I will go grab TJ Hawkinson and take a flyer on. I'd spend some fab on TJ Hawkinson.
Dude, you're not the elite tight end believer I thought you were, dude.
Bro, I love TJ Hawkinson, but I just...
You're not him, dude.
I'm being a realist here. I'm also the same guy that said Justin Jefferson's not top five worthy.
Respect.
You know, like,
respect.
Yeah, yeah, maybe this beer just got me down. I don't know.
Damn, are you sad?
No, this Angel game's got you down, bro.
I mean... I think seventh round is tough.
Just two different ways. Yeah,
I think seventh round is tough because I still think you're building out your roster, man. For me, I'm taking lottery tickets, 8th, 9th, 10th round.
Okay, if you don't have a tight end at that position or at that round, 7, 8, you're still telling me you want to take TJ Hawkinson.
I'm going to take a tight end that could start.
Yeah, or fucking wait.
Oh, what tight end are you going to take in the 8th round over TJ Hawkinson?
Who cares, dude?
Oh, my God, bro.
No, if I was in the 8th round and I still didn't have a tight end, I probably just don't draft one for a while.
Okay, bro.
Okay.
Are you going to take David Njoku in the 8th round or TJ Hawkinson?
That's TJ Hawkinson. Every day of the week.
David Njoku is going to play, dude.
He's also going to put up 30 catches like every other fucking tight end, dude. 30, 40 catches.
But at least you can start
him. With 500 yards. That's the norm for everyone tight end 6 and farther, dude. What the fuck are we talking about here, boys?
What we're talking about, bro.
What are we talking about?
Go ahead and plug in TJ Hawkinson week 1.
Oh, my God.
Tell me how elite he is, dude.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, you're going to take a guy that's not going to – the guy that can't even walk – you know,
holy
by the start
shit.
Of the season, you're going to take him in the 7th round, dude.
I don't fucking care,
that's
dude.
More diabolical than Frank saying he's going to take Kyron top
Go
five
look up David Njoku and Tyler Kraft stats last year. I bet they're pretty fucking similar, dude.
Didn't we just say David Njoku was like a top 7 tight end?
Fuck David Njoku. Sorry, David. I love you, brother.
Bro, I see.
That was good.
I see where you're coming from. But, like, your argument's just way too early, dude. Like, it's the 7th round. So you're telling me you're going to take TJ Hawkinson as your best player off the bench?
So what I'm saying is, by the 7th round, your core of your team is typically built. People typically wait on tight ends if you're not drafting a Travis Kelce, right? So you have your running backs, your wide receivers, and potentially your QB. All I'm saying is, if a lottery ticket like TJ Hawkinson is in the fucking 8th round, you're not going to draft him, dude?
Well, the 8th round, yeah, maybe. I can see.
7th, 8th, dude. What the fuck are we? We're talking semantics here now, bro? Shut the fuck up.
No, dude. I'm going to draft the tight end that can
go draft fucking Robert Tonyan, you fucking prick.
Well, that guy ain't going to get any starting time.
Yeah, I know, dude.
I think I'd rather take Dalton Schultz there.
Dalton Schultz?
Yep.
I'd rather take fucking... I love TJ Hawkinson, but like there's at least 8, 9 tight ends I'm going to take before I even think about taking TJ Hawkinson.
Agreed.
It's a different conversation if the man's fucking playing, Brady.
He's playing week 5, dude. What are we talking
not.
About?
He's not.
He starts on the
he's
pup.
On the
it's
pup.
6 weeks.
Dude.
Oh, my God. Boys.
That's at least 6 weeks, and then the guy's coming in with one fucking leg.
He's fine, dude.
And probably J.J. McCarthy.
Let's not forget where
the
he went to
school. The new Sam Darnold. It's like.
Let's not worry. Forget where he went to school. He's fucking fine.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Would you take George Kittle or him? Exactly.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
He's all, I'll take an injured not playing TJ Hawkinson over a starting George Kittle.
Put it on the board, dude.
I will. Put it on the board. Fuck George Kittle.
When Brady comes down on the set, our teams are going to suck, dude.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to end up with the fucking first overall pick. And I can't take Justin Jefferson. You got to take Kyron. He's got to take TJ Hawkinson at the 7th round. Oh, no later than that, dude.
Our team. Hell yeah, let's go.
Stand by my words. So cool. I better not get too hammered and say I'm taking J.K. Dobbins in the 1st round or something.
Oh, man.
All right. Enough on the Vikings. You got anything else to say about Hawkinson, Brady?
Yeah, I'm taking him in the 4th. Let's go.
On the board.
No, I'm not.
That's on the record. It's on the record.
On the record. Got to take a piss.
All right. Let's move on to the fucking Chicago Bears. Players they had in free agency. Some names. Keenan Allen.
Big names.
DeAndre Swift. Gerald Everett. Players they lost. More big names. Justin Fields. Dante Foreman. Darnell Mooney. Players they drafted. Even bigger names.
Big name.
Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, rounding out the depth chart.
Is there no other team that made a bigger splash this offseason, like, collectively than the Bears?
No. They're going for it.
Yeah.
They're going for it. And they're on Hard Knocks.
Yep.
There's no better team to be on Hard Knocks. But, yeah, they're going for it. And it's going to start with the quarterback, Caleb Williams. And then right behind him is Tyson Bagent, who had a couple games here and there.
Yep.
DeAndre Swift is now the new leader of the running back room.
Khalil
Herbert.
That guy.
I know you do, bro. We're going to talk about him. Roschon Johnson. And then Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Romo Dunze, Tyler Scott, Velus Jones. And then the tight end room, pretty solid. Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. But let's start with their new crown jewel, the first overall draft pick, Caleb Williams. So Caleb Williams, the next highly touted quote-unquote, generational quarterback. Is he generational? So, you know, like Frank knows, he hasn't played a snap in this league, so
yeah,
we can't really say. But what did he do in college, right? So since he became the starter in 2021, Caleb, among 122 other Power 5 quarterbacks with at least 300 dropbacks, his PFF passer grade is 5th best, his passer rating is 3rd best, his yards per attempt 7th best. No college quarterback has thrown more touchdowns or has a better touchdown to turnover rate in the red zone than Caleb Williams. Those are all nice on paper. And frankly, when you put the tape on, he still looks good, right? You know, you see a kid that who has a knack for highlight reel plays. He's got the arm, the accuracy to put it anywhere on the field from anywhere. Flat-footed, back-footed, no-footed. The kid could sling it. Like, you could easily see the Patrick Mahomes comps because it seems like their style of play is very similar. Now, as much as he sounds like a perfect prospect right now, he does have some glaring red flags, right? He holds onto the ball way too long. He's got a high fumble rate. He's got a high sack rate. All things you don't want to see out of a quarterback coming out, but let alone being the first overall pick, you know? Now, that is concerning from an NFL standpoint. Like, I'm honestly not too worried about that from a fantasy football standpoint. And we're talking fantasy football. And frankly, I think his upsides are going to be higher than his downsides. Now, something that doesn't get talked a lot about is actually his rushing ability. And I wouldn't say he's a dual threat quarterback, but he does provide a high rushing floor. He actually had 27 rushing touchdowns in 37 games.
I like that.
And he averages over 5 yards a clip on the ground. And I don't see him rushing for offense. I don't think they're going to scheme him running the balls like the Bears did with Justin Fields. But he's athletic enough to extend plays, and that's something I see him doing a lot because he has a knack for holding onto the ball and a knack for scrambling, and he's not going to want to get hit. He's fast enough and quick enough. He's going to be rushing for first downs, you know, and he's going to be the kind of kid that's going to just tuck and run in the red zone very much like Mahomes. You know, Mahomes loves to run in from like 10, 15 yards out. And in my opinion, this is going to lift his fantasy floor. And with the weapons around him, it wouldn't shock me if he finished just outside the top 10 for fantasy quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, man. I mean, for everything that he's done in college, you gotta salivate, right? Like, he brings a type of play to the NFL position that they're comping to somebody. Like, I actually think your comp of Kyler is probably a better comp. But even then, Kyler was a fucking monster year one in fantasy football. And you got to look at that upside and be like, damn, maybe this is what, maybe this is that lotto ticket that you take in the fucking 10th, 11th, 12th round, 15th round, you know, at the end of your draft and shit. Cause he could be a league winner if he pans out.
It just comes down to like we're not talking about him if he got drafted to the Bears last year.
Sure.
Right. Like they made the moves. They built around him. They beefed up the offensive line. They added a young, talented wide receiver. They added Keenan Allen, right? They already have DJ Moore. He's got two good tight ends, and they added to the running back room. All the pieces are put around him to set him up for success.
Right.
So if this team fails, it's because he failed.
Sure.
Without a doubt. And right. you got to have the expectation that he's probably going to fail. He's a rookie quarterback.
Oh, 100%.
You know? So, like, everyone wants to give him the Patrick Mahomes comp. It's like, don't think this kid is the next Patrick Mahomes. They're playing on two completely different teams with two completely different coaches. Don't forget, Matt Eberflus is a defensive-minded head coach.
And this is the Bears.
And it's the fucking Bears. It is the
Bears.
This
is the the Bears.
You know, like.
But to me, he will fall into that category of just that late-round quarterback you would take a flyer on. Now, I'm not confident enough to make him my quarterback, but if you're the kind of person that wants a backup,
dude,
like, take a shot on him.
If you fucking stack your whole team with just position players and then just take this guy in the 12th round, right. I wouldn't hate it. Like,
so I don't know about you guys. I think you play the same way with me. I don't keep emergency QBs on my bench, dude, in redraft.
Oh, I don't either.
I stream them.
I don't either. I'm just kind of thinking about, like, from our listeners' perspective, there's people out there that draft backup quarterbacks.
Well, if you do that, you're a fucking tar.
And waste the team a slot on them.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess you could take a flare on them. So, to me, the biggest red flag with Caleb has nothing to do with ability.
He paints his fingernails.
Yes. Honestly, not that, but it's his affinity to want the attention all the time, dude. I can't tell you how many videos I've seen of him lately out in Chicago at a bar doing something, you know, I don't want to say stupid. I mean, he's living his life, bro. He's right. A young kid. That's fine. But like, I personally don't want my quarterback, you know, showboating out like that. I get it. Like I said, he's young. He's immature still. You know, he's got all the talent in the world, all the money in the world. He wants to show it off. That's great. Whatever, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, you got to put in the work, dude. And if I'm a Chicago Bear player, that's not what I want to see out of my quarterback, dude. If I'm a Keenan Allen, if I'm a DJ Moore, I don't want to see that shit. I want to see you on the field working your ass off with me every day, dude. That's what I want to see personally. I don't want all the shenanigans that come with Caleb Williams, bro. Period.
Okay.
So yeah, he's off my team, safe to say.
I'm not going to knock him for anything he's doing right now. He's on that rookie tour, you know? Like, he's right next. You're going to shit on Rome Odunze because he's right next to him. Right, like they're all doing the same thing. Like, you know, it just he's just the 101. No one gives a fuck if the lineman's chugging beers next to him.
But Rome Odunze is a positional player. Caleb is the franchise player, bro. He's the franchise player. And say what you will about this new day and age about young players coming into the league, and you know, acting the way they are currently. But call me old head, whatever. But I want QBs that come in and want to work from day one, dude. I don't want the fucking bullshit that comes along with it. I don't want the fucking pain in nails. I don't want the fucking batting practice with the Chicago Cubs on social media, dude. Shut the fuck up. Get in the fucking field and put in the work, dude.
Yeah,
that's the video I want to see.
Hitting a baseball is hard.
Yes.
I want the same thing, dude.
Yeah.
I want the same
thing. But this is who we're talking about. This is who the kid is. At the end of the day, this is what he's going to do, and we could sit here and hate on it all we want, but what we care about is if this motherfucker is going to rush that touchdown in for 6 points or throw a pick.
I'm betting the latter.
So who's he throwing the ball to? So he's going to throw the ball to DJ Moore, who set career highs across the board with Justin Fields and Tyson fucking Badgett. And for all that we shit on DJ Moore, like, I was looking at him like, damn, I thought he was like wide receiver 10. Like, I didn't know he was wide receiver 6.
Very much like who did we just mention?
So,
I'm drawing a blank. Jordan Addison, he had two monster games, dude. Two monster games. DJ Moore, that skyrocketed his fucking
a 49-point game.
Yeah,
and then
yes.
It was really one. He had a 49-point game in week five.
He had like another,
and he was inconsistent. But it, like when I looked at him, like I've honestly seen worse. Like he still ended up with six top 10 finishes.
He was six top 10 finishes, but then every other finish is outside of fucking 30, dude.
So where you like, and when you think about
that's
it, though,
called
like,
the Justin Fields effect.
That's called so DJ Moore-ish of him, dude.
That's called being a Chicago Bear.
Yeah.
But where was, so DJ Moore is getting drafted, what, in like the third, fourth round? You know, so he was like, I mean, you got the top 10 like wide receiver.
But
like,
you lost 10 weeks because he didn't do shit for you.
But yeah, I mean,
you
honestly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. Those 6 weeks, they're beautiful. They're magical, dude. But those other 10 were
so
horrendous.
Pretty.
Horrendous, dude. Week one, 74. Wide receiver, 74. Week eight, 51. Week nine, 58. Week 15 in the playoffs, 43. Week 16 in the playoffs, 77.
Now pull up TJ Hawkins and stats, baby.
0-0-0-0-0.
Let's go.
All I'm saying is, dude, like, this is the, this, these are the receivers you stay away from.
Oh, yeah. I was getting to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was, what I was saying is like, oh shit, he did better than I thought.
Right. I fucking, you know, hate DJ Moore.
Because
dude.
Like, hate him, dude.
I couldn't tell, dude.
He just did better than I thought. I mean, like, those are career numbers.
Yeah.
You know, and you would think the situation is improving because the quarterback play should improve, you know, but
maybe
I just
this
don't,
levels out.
It's going to level
and
out.
And he's
dude.
Like
and
wide receiver 10.
He's
or
he's
11.
He's a cog in this offense. You know, he's a field stretcher. That's who he is. You know, and we talked about that big game he had last year. Mm-hmm. Those were like two broken fucking plays,
oh
dude.
Oh, my God. I'll never
two
forget
broken
plays
in one screen play. You know, like, of course he's going to put up a damn near 50 burger. You know, he finally has a quarterback that get him the ball. But this offense also has more mouths to feed.
Oh, my God. Do they?
Him and Cole Kmet swallowed up almost half of the Bears' passing targets. And honestly, like, if I'm a betting man, he's the guy I'm putting my money on to regress out of the wide receiver one territory.
I agree.
You know, because I, like you said, Frank, I think things are going to level out. You know, there's just more weapons on this offense, which brings me to Keenan Allen, who was honestly in line for a career year until he got injured.
He did.
And
damn.
Until
what
him.
What a surprise, dude.
Until him and Herbo got injured, he was honestly the wide receiver three overall in a PPR format on a points per game basis. So Keenan Allen was balling out. And at this point, he was, plays in the slot. He's old. He got traded to the Bears. He frankly looks like he doesn't give a fuck. He to me, like he just, you know, I follow him on social media. We are Charger fans. I don't want to say we know him, but he just looks checked out to me.
Dude,
you know,
he didn't want to take a pay cut.
He didn't want to take a pay cut, so he ended up with the fucking Bears. That's a Cali kid that's playing in the cold now.
Have fun, dude.
Yeah, so he looks like a rental to me. Even if he balls out, I expect him to move on because he's going to ask for fucking big money at 33 years old. You know, so it's kind of hard to tell, like, what a rookie quarterback's going to lean on. Is he going to lean on the elite slot receiver? Or he's going to lean on the tight end, who is also very talented. You know, and Cole Kmet has been a top 10 tight end these past two seasons. But like DJ Moore, I think he's going to be hurt by the upgrades in this offense. Not to mention, Gerald Everett got added. And while that doesn't seem like much, Gerald Everett honestly has a lot of familiarity with the new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron.
Ooh.
They were together with the Rams, and they were together with the Seahawks. So it's interesting that he gets added to this offense.
That is something to be aware of. If you're a Cole Kmet dynasty owner.
And as much as we loved, and I loved Romo Odunze's talent, he was my number two receiver coming out. I just can't get behind him this season.
I agree. I think he's 2 years away.
Yeah, I agree.
Two years away.
Once Keenan Allen is gone, this kid's ready to explode.
This is going
to
be a redshirt year for him. A learning year.
We're looking at a rookie wide receiver potentially being the fourth passing option on this offense. So that's going to be behind DJ Moore, behind Keenan Allen, and behind one of the tight ends.
Cole Kmet or Gerald Everett.
So, you know,
so let me get this straight, dude. We hate Keenan Allen. We hate DJ Moore. We hate Romo Odunze. We hate Cole Kmet. And we think Caleb Williams is going to be the man, dude?
Never said he was going to be the man.
Is that what I'm hearing?
I said, like, so, okay. All of those passing options, yes. We hate all of them.
I'm just
But I guess
dude.
What I'm thinking is, like, we're hoping with Caleb that the talent is what are you
we're hoping that he
talent,
rushes for 1,000 yards and
talent,
10 TDs
what's that phrase, the talent outweighs the negative, I guess, you know.
Yeah, the pros outweigh the cons.
Exactly. With his talent,
I think the hard part, it's tough to gauge this team. Like, that's it, dude. Like, yeah. This is a brand, like, this looks like a brand new team. It basically is. Brand new running back, brand new quarterback, brand new tight ends, brand new wide receivers, brand new offensive coordinator. Like, we don't know what this team's going to do. The only thing I could bet on is, like, DJ Moore is probably going to get worse. Like, yeah. That's about it, dude.
Yeah.
Because, and the funny thing is, why do I feel like that? It's because the situation improved.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so you're telling me his quarterback play improved and the weapons around him improved, so he's going to get worse? I'm like, yes, because they don't have to fucking lean on him.
Right.
You know, you now have a quarterback that should be able to get to his second read. Right? So there's just a lot of unknowns. And, like, let me get into the fucking running back room. There goes another new running back, DeAndre Swift.
Oh, I forgot he was there.
So let's play a game. How many times do you think DeAndre Swift got stuffed at the 1 yard line last year?
Do we have a frame, or just like, probably, are you just asking?
Just
like,
give me one number.
Zero, because they gave it all to Jalen.
Nah.
No.
I'm going to say
it's probably a
shit. They were there a lot. I know that.
And Jalen Hurts got it all.
I watched a lot of Eagles games. I don't remember why, but I did. I'm going to say, let's go with probably half, so maybe 8 or 9.
Okay. So DeAndre Swift was stuffed at the 1 yard line 6 times.
That was pretty close.
What a bitch.
So if you gave him those 6 touchdowns, he'd be RB3 overall.
Wow.
But instead, he finished as RB20. Thank you, Jalen Hurts.
Just goes to show how
and
important touchdowns
Swift
are.
Swift had a career high rushing yards, 1,263 on the ground. And the Bears had a decent running game last season. They actually ranked 7th in yards before contact last year. And Swift, he's going to come in and be the leader of this backfield. They paid him as such, right? And even though he's got that 3-down skill set, he can run, he can catch, he's already showed us he can't handle a 3-down workload. And the Bears are known for having a rotation, you know, so just expect him to be the first guy to get the touches. And Khalil Herbert, to me, he's one of those elite cuffs, because he's going to get touches every now and then. And DeAndre Swift has a knack for getting banged up. And if he goes down, I could easily see Khalil Herbert being a top 20 running back week in, week out, you know, and I could see DeAndre Swift kind of flirting with that area as well. We liked Roshon Johnson, but he's been relegated to the third guy in the backfield.
He can't pass block, man. So
he can't do much. Right now, DeAndre Swift is sitting in RB2 territory. He's got an ADP of 69. We already know Frank's not going to touch him. So let me ask you this, Brady.
Hit me.
Who are you going to draft? These are all running backs within a similar range.
Okay.
Are you taking DeAndre Swift or Ramondre Stevenson?
Oh, God. Fuck, that's a great question.
Make the right choice, dude. It's obvious.
I think I got to go Ramondre, dude.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's just kind of obvious, like Frank said.
DeAndre Swift or Jalen Warren?
Well, you know that me and you are both big Jalen Warren fans, so I think I might lean Jalen Warren.
DeAndre Swift or Tony Pollard?
I think we saw what we saw from Tony in Dallas, and it's not getting any better. So this is where I might switch it up and go DeAndre Swift.
I think I know the answer to this one, but DeAndre Swift or David Montgomery?
David Montgomery.
DeAndre Swift or Zamir White?
Ooh, that's a good one, too. Yeah, I think I might go Zamir. Yeah, the only one I can see realistically where I take DeAndre is, who did I say over?
Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard, yeah. I think, like I said, Tony Pollard proved that, and Frank beat this point over and over again, too. He's not a true, you know, workhorse back, bro.
Right.
And I think Tajay Spears showed enough last year where he's going to get significant run out there.
God, if I have to fucking decide between DeAndre Swift or Tony Pollard, I'm just going to pass and give up my pick, dude.
I'm taking TJ Hawkinson.
Let's
go.
Taking Hawkinson.
I was going to say, take Hawkinson.
Yeah,
God, I'd fucking just deal with the RB2 problem all year.
That's the only one, though, I think. So, yeah, that's interesting, man. A lot of people over DeAndre.
And the hard part is kind of similar to a lot of these positions, like, once you kind of get into that RB2 territory, a lot of it's really compressed.
Yeah.
You know, so you take a guy like DeAndre Swift, right, who finishes, what, RB20? There's not a big gap between him and James Cook, who finished as, like, RB12.
Yes, he did.
The difference is James Cook's probably going to get taken in the second or third round, where you're going to get DeAndre Swift and everyone else we just mentioned, what, in the 69? Fucking so in the end of the fifth, early sixth round.
Here
so
we are. Here's your list, your early, way too early list of value running backs. Everybody get on so you could get sad during fantasy season. Right.
Let's learn from our mistakes. Don't draft Swift. Don't draft Ramondre. Don't draft Warren.
No, one of these guys will hit. One of them will hit.
You figure out which one I'm taking and don't
his
take
name
him.
His name is J.K. Dobbins. Let's go.
I had Warren, dude. I fucking rode that guy into played him, dude.
Warren's the man.
He's had no choice. I literally rode Javonte Williams and Jalen Warren.
That's respect.
Like just two flat tires on my fucking Winnebago into the playoffs, dude, with Cooper Kupp driving, Stephon Diggs crying in the back, Puka Nacua just young and happy to be there.
Just young and happy to be there.
And then Keenan Allen. Good Lord, dude.
That was an impressive run, dude.
Yeah.
Give it to you.
And that's the North.
That is the North, dude.
Kings of the North.
We got to figure out when Don can get in here so we could talk about the West.
Yeah.
Yeah. Line it up, bro. Just let me know for sure so I can bring my mic over. So we'll have a four-way.
All right. Thanks for listening.
All right. Later.
Later.